Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
At the moment, there's certainly an increasing interest in electronic music. Music that is produced by electronic oscillators.
Think of a sound, now make it. Any sound is now possible. Any combination of sounds is now possible.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I can help you navigate the toxicity of this male culture which is encroaching on our feminist island. I mean, for instance, there is something called mansplaining. Have you heard about this?
We know what mansplaining is.
Mansplaining is when a man will condescendingly explain something to a woman that she already knows.
We have work to do.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Of course.
Really exciting. Around here, this is peak excitement. And now...
Everybody, just leave me alone. I'm poopy.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Labor alone.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 29th of Rocktober.
Here we go.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
What?
What's up?
Who's that?
Who's that? It's been a week.
Hi, Bean.
Hey, Allie. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Chip.
Hi, Bean.
Where's the Boy Wonder today?
The Boy Wonder is on a trip.
He's, yeah, filming his show in a different state for a few days.
Oh, he's dropping the mic?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So nearly a full complement of staff here.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It's about as good as it gets.
Yeah. About all we hope for these days. Let me just say that it's better to go to the World Series.
Oh, don't start talking crap about the Dodgers.
I'm not talking crap.
All right.
I'm saying, look, I'm Mr. Brightside. Okay,
right,
you guys
course,
know
you're
that.
Known for that.
I am known right. for being the guy who always sees the best
right.
in every situation. It's better to go to the World Series, as much as it hurts, it's better to go to the World Series and lose than to not go to the World Series. It's not a 100% successful season, granted.
Right.
But you did better than every other team in baseball except one.
Yeah, but by the time you get to that position where you're playing for the World Series
mm-hmm.
with one other team, it's mm-hmm. all you can see.
Yeah.
You just have to beat one more.
Yeah.
You don't, right, you're not looking behind you at all the other teams.
Right. But what I'm saying is, look, at the end of this, maybe today that's hard mm-hmm. to get wrap your head around. The Dodgers have the second best team in baseball, okay? That's nothing to be ashamed of.
No, agreed.
Is what I'm saying, is that it's a remarkable achievement to get to the World Series anyway. We all know how difficult that is. We all know how difficult it is to repeat. And it's incredible that they were able to do it. It's just sad the way it worked out. But on the other hand, I'll also say this. It's hard to hate this Red Sox team. They're not dicks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They play together like a team. They beat you in so many different ways. I feel like, Kevin, you've been a Lakers fan your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You had to marvel at those Warriors teams that won because you'd never seen anything as good as that.
Yeah, but if I was in the finals with them,
mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm in the finals with them, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Or disappointed, maybe.
Disappointed, I think, is fair. Yeah, absolutely.
But you also have to say that the Golden State Warriors are an amazing team. You have to give them credit. I feel that way about the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And B, if I were a huge Dodger fan, I wouldn't want to hear that today. So
I know it's delicate.
I will say this.
Yes, please.
They were outcoached mm-hmm. by far, and they were outplayed. By far. They weren't a better team, period.
Yeah,
we can all just say that.
I think that's true.
And anyone that says, oh, they were just as good, they could... No, no, no. And the sooner you realize that, the better you'll feel about it. They weren't going to win this. Suckers. They made me so mad. I'm still mad.
Hope. I live by this. Hope hurts.
Hope does hurt.
So let's just start in last place. We're all good. You don't expect more?
That's why being a Mariners fan is the smartest decision I ever made. Oh. You never have to worry about October.
I was just so... When I saw the lineup for yesterday's game and I saw that Kike was batting third, I was like, they don't care. They don't care.
Well, I mean, I think they did care. I don't think they made any decisions that they thought would hurt the team. Dave Roberts had a plan, and
he sure did. He had a plan that said the numbers lined up to this, and this is where mm-hmm. he should go, instead of saying, this hasn't worked out yet.
Yeah.
And you know what?
After every game, they said, we're going to stick with this.
That's bad coaching, period.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to Matt Money Smith about that next hour, and I know we'll be discussing it. And look, when even the president is blasting you on Twitter for moves you're making as the manager.
Was he doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that turned out not to be...
Because he knows so much about baseball?
The whole truth with Rich Hill, which we found out in yesterday's game.
Right.
When he went out to go get... We need to talk about that with Matt.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Because none of that made sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, the president was just being fan at home and thought he knew what was going on. He didn't have the real story.
What?
None of us did.
The president?
I know. But he still tweeted
about it. That's ridiculous.
He did still tweet.
Okay, good.
But anyway, it's a very sad day, but I think the only gracious things to say are thank you to the Dodgers for another exciting season and congratulations to the Red Sox for a well-deserved win.
When do we start talking about if Kershaw leaves?
Well,
is it too soon?
Probably
within the next 3 days, I guess we find out, right? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about, I don't think Dave Roberts is going to leave.
I don't either.
We'll talk
about
that.
Then the front office would have to neuter the next coach, and that takes time.
So anyway, plenty of a Dodger breakdown on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Let me do a real quick thing, can I, before we break?
Sure.
Only because I could have saved this for What's Up with Florida. I could have saved this for animal stories. But I saw it this morning, and I just can't believe it. You know these, what do they call them? They're not homeowners associations. No,
donkey.
They're not homeowners associations. What do they call those rules in a neighborhood where you are overseen by property owners?
Yeah, like you have to keep your front lawn up or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
What are those things called? Allie, you would know, right?
Home something association.
Yeah,
there's
I thought
a
it was
term for it. Yeah.
Something association. Yeah. Are we helping?
We're not.
Not at all. I figured between the two of you. This is a Pensacola woman who lives in an area where they are not allowed to raise animals on the property. Fair enough, understandable enough. You don't want to wake up one day and find out your neighbor has created a cow farm next to you,
Most of us don't have room for a cow farm next to us. Maybe a cat.
Mark that one down.
Maybe just
my
a cat.
Apartment has a cow farm next to us now.
I can't believe this.
I've been on 3 minutes.
Where did you get the space?
3 minutes and I'm back on this bad example. But this poor lady down in Pensacola, her name is Krista White, she started a butterfly garden in her front yard 6 years ago. She loves butterflies. And she raises caterpillars into butterflies, nurturing them, making sure that they have the food and the shelter and the water and everything that they need. And then when they get old enough, they fly away.
I mean, are those technically animals?
And what's more chill than a butterfly? What's wrong with these people?
She has a passion for nature. That's what she says, by the way, is who on earth could be bothered by a butterfly? Don't you see a butterfly in your neighborhood? You go, oh, that's delightful.
Yes.
Right? So she goes out of her way to help the colorful creatures, it says here. They've been declining in her region in recent years. It's a beautiful neighborhood. I live here. I want my caterpillars and butterflies to be at peace too. Earlier this month, she received a first and final notice from the Crown Point Property Owners Association saying it was against community covenants to have other animals bred or raised on a lot except for dogs or cats.
Wow. This,
she comes back, sees this in her mailbox. They start fining her $25 a day, over $9,000 a year for her butterfly farm. So far, she hasn't paid a cent, by the way, but they say that butterflies are not allowed on the property. So she's fighting it. Is this letter of the law thing like when they say you can't put anything out in front of your house and then somebody has to go to court because they fly an American flag? Is this one of these deals?
I think so,
It's got to be, yeah.
It's got to be letter of the law because who cares about
right?
Who's upset about she's not raising alligators, okay?
How about a first and final notice? That's
funny
seems
too.
Aggressive.
Yes, it
first
does.
And
this is
final.
The last time we'll tell you, which is also the first time.
Remember 10 seconds ago when you started reading this letter? That was your first warning. So I'm going to definitely keep my eye on Pensacola and see what happens with Chris or White, but I guess the fear is that they say okay to her, and then the next thing you know, the guy next door says, I want to raise a cow farm. I want to raise boa constrictors or whatever. I guess they got to draw the line somewhere, but not. It's got to be above butterflies. That's all I'm saying.
I would think so as well.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Honey, I've always told my son, don't be messing around with that.
Like we mentioned, we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the World Series in the 6 o'clock hour. WWE SmackDown tickets today.
Oh.
We have, last week, I don't know if you heard, it was pretty spectacular. We did our flute fails. And by pretty spectacular, I mean horrible.
Yeah, we weren't good.
But we need to play those for Bean, and then Bean needs to get out the uke.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Because we couldn't play what we were playing.
Right, it's only fair.
I can tell you what's going on with the uke, but you guys were playing the flute?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not the flute, it's the recorder.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
They call it a flute because online on YouTube it says flute fails. But yeah, it's the recorder. And it's not possible to change a note on those things.
we found out.
Everybody's like, can you get it to change at all? Nope, put your finger here. Try this. Put your finger there.
We literally thought Jensen and I had a broken flute.
On the YouTube, though, are there people you can find who are playing recorders like professional musicians?
Listen, we don't have time to check that kind of stuff.
Okay. The ones that he brought in were not, and I think most of them weren't.
Okay.
Because that's a difficult, difficult thing to make
that
sound good.
That instrument is a fail, then, if
it's
you can't
a fail, yeah.
ever make it sound good.
Andrew Siciliano talking about Week 8 of the NFL.
How about those Rams?
The scariest Halloween movies we're going to talk about today. And great news. Because it's Monday morning, we'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Allie, I really need to be brought up to speed. I have missed a lot over the weekend and over the past week, so please fill me in. What's happening?
Let me help you out. First off, let's turn to the box office.
All right.
Halloween maintaining its top spot at the box office for the second weekend in a row, and they crossed that all-important $100 million mark on Friday. Worldwide, the film has nabbed about $172 million. Not bad.
Pretty strong.
Not bad.
I did not see that, no.
Oh, man.
I know, I wanted to, but I didn't have time. Busy guy.
You're very busy. You're very busy. Following that, A Star is Born, and then Venom, top three again. Not bad, right? I thought that was going to go away.
I mean, it's got amazing. It's got amazing special effects, and you know, everybody was looking forward to it, so I can see why it's going well.
Coming in at number four, Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween, and at number five, Hunter Killer. Hunter Killer.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I almost went and saw.
Who's in that? What's that?
Gerard Butler.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
He plays like a submarine captain and Russians and World War III. I don't know.
Gerard.
He's still saving the world like London is falling?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Except for now he's in a sub.
All right.
Oh, I would love to be in enclosed space with him. Not going to lie. Wow, I've never even heard of that movie.
I didn't either until I saw the trailer.
Goodness.
Not great advertising for that one.
Not a lot. Yeah, we got to get on that. Did you guys...
Is my First Man movie, is that dead?
It's dead.
Not in the top. Oh, yeah, it came in number 7, 4.9 million. Hmm. Yeah, I felt like that would have legs that people
would just... It's an amazing movie.
...keep seeing it, but I guess not. Plus that movie about tiny feet, Smallfoot.
Right.
That, no one's seeing that, so I don't know.
I just thought Ryan Gosling was a huge draw for people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that alone. I mean, I get that most people probably don't know who Neil Armstrong is. They probably think it's a fake story.
That's the saddest thing.
But Ryan Gosling and Claire Foy seems like that's the kind of couple people would want to go see. Yeah, I guess not.
You would think.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember that much delayed movie, London Fields? It was supposed to open in 2015. Then there was a legal dispute. It was pulled. Amber Heard, Billy Bob Thornton, Johnny Depp, Cara Delevingne, like big, big cast. That that debuted to $160,000.
Oh.
The second worst opening for a wide release behind 2008's Proud American. Yep, don't remember that either. So this is not...
But I'm going to say no advertising for that as well, right? They just throw it in
Yeah, it seems like it.
Sort of.
But these are huge names. You would think... I don't know. Listen, I don't have all the answers. I do have the answers to this, though. Do you guys remember last week that viral photo of Justin Bieber sitting on a park bench eating a burrito?
Yeah, burrito gate.
Sideways.
Sure.
Did you say burrito gate?
It was
gate,
a pretty big deal.
Okay.
He was eating.
Because he was eating it sideways?
Yeah.
Like an animal.
He was a monster.
Like a absolute monster. And the internet went crazy.
Of
course. Does he not know how to eat a burrito? Do they not have burritos in Canada? Like, what's happening with this? Well, we have come to find out that that was not Justin Bieber. It was all staged by a group called Yes Theory. And they posted a video of how they came up with this, where they're like, what should we have this Justin Bieber lookalike? Which, by the way, this guy from Canada looks more like Justin Bieber than Justin Bieber.
Oh, is that right?
They brought him to a wig store. They cut the wig. They went and got him the hoodie. It's a fascinating video, but they had like a flow chart of all the different things that he could be doing that will offend people.
Mm-hmm.
And they went with eating a burrito sideways.
That's really smart.
And it was the right thing.
It's that kind of nonsense that gets response from people.
Absolutely. So they posted how they came up with the whole thing. And then The Blast wrote how they kind of got duped. But they had checked with this guy named Connor, found out that it was the original photo, that they were the ones that took it. So they thought it was legit. But then when they saw all of this, they just did this whole story and they wrote, well done, gentlemen. Well done. So you've got to give them kudos, because that was probably the biggest viral story of the week. Justin Bieber eating a burrito like a deranged monster. Well, it wasn't
funny in the video to see the stuff that they tried before they got to the burrito, too.
Yeah.
They shot other videos of him, like, helping an old lady across the street after she dropped her purse and things like that, just looking for the right photo that they thought could get it done.
But the crazy part of the helping the old lady across the street, right as they were doing that, one of those celebrity buses came up, and people started freaking out because they thought it was Justin. They're like, that's the weirdest timing ever. So, not everything that you see on the internet is real.
What?
So he knows how to eat a burrito in real life.
I mean, I don't know if
we know for sure. Until we see he made a burrito, we don't know.
Right. What if he eats it with a fork and a knife?
Oh, you kick him out.
It's almost worse than eating it sideways, right?
That's that's me. That's how I...
You
know me.
Would.
You're a monster.
What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Well, when we come back...
Do you eat pizza with a fork?
He does.
Oh, you're a terrible person.
Hamburgers with a fork. Well,
No.
Hamburgers?
No.
No.
You're a terrible human.
I eat French fries with a fork.
What?
I just...
What don't you like about your fingers? What's wrong with your fingers?
I prefer to eat with silverware.
You mark that one down.
But these things are made to be eaten with your fingers.
That's one option.
That's what it's intended.
Okay, do you eat with your fingers? What will, like a sandwich, like a tuna fish sandwich?
Nope, cut it
up. Fork, don't be ridiculous.
Cut up a sandwich.
He's not an animal.
Do you eat
anything with your fingers?
Well, hold on a second. I'm sure I do.
Pudding?
Carrots? Carrots I eat.
Would you like to see that?
Soup?
I cut apples and use a fork.
What? Come on now. You cut apples into tiny little finger size food.
Uh-huh.
And then you use a fork.
Use a fork, yeah. I'm very committed to my silverware.
You're nuts. You are nuts. What don't you eat with a fork? Like,
I told you, carrots.
That's it?
I'm sure there may be other things. I mean, candy. I don't use a knife and a fork for like candy corn.
Only because of the size of it.
Yeah, probably. Probably, yeah.
Oh, my
It's this okay, guys.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I'm changed. I'm definitely changed. Some birthdays for you. Tracy Ellis Ross, Gabrielle Union, Winona Ryder, the voice of Homer Simpson, Grandpa Simpson, Krusty the Clown, Willie, the groundskeeper, Mayor Joe Quimby, he does it all, Dan Castellaneta, and I don't know how to say this singer's name. Is it Tove Lo? Is it Tuvalu? How do we say it? Do we know? We're looking.
We're looking.
Should have told you.
Maybe a heads up.
Okay, sorry.
Maybe next hour.
How do you say it? Do you know?
Tove Lo.
It's Tove Lo, but then she said it was like
Tuvalu or something. Something bizarre.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of that, and that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
First note to Kevin and Bean Afroline. If I remember the number correctly this time, it's 323-520-AFRO. It's the Kevin and Bean voicemail. 24 hours a day, you call us, leave a message, we play them back on the radio.
Okay, when you were talking about the Mumford & Sons performance and saying they were going to perform in your kitchen, I kept thinking you guys were just joking around. And I got to hand it to you. I'm from San Bernardino, and y'all is ghetto as hell making them perform in your kitchen like that.
I mean,
she's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
Yeah.
Candy corn keeps coming up because Bean loves it.
Uh-huh. It's the best.
And he's the only person that loves it until this guy.
Hey there. So the other morning you guys were talking about candy corn and all the permutations during the year that they make of these things. And I am now, right now, munching down on a football candy corn item thing. And it's like three times the size of a normal candy corn. So you bite into it, and it's like biting into three of those things, and it's awesome! I love these things. I'd have them every day for breakfast.
I already told my wife that Halloween's Wednesday, right? Thursday, I'm going out to all the stores, man. I'm loading up on candy corn.
The one thing you know is that it'll last for next year and all the years after that.
I still have candy corn in my pantry from last year, but I'm still loading up on more candy corn once it goes to 50% off. So I'll have it throughout all of next year as well.
I bet it's 50% off now. No one's buying it.
It's a very popular treat.
Bean, you should ask for a little money from this person.
Oh, my God. I've been playing HQ Trivia since Bean first mentioned it, and I just won $2.12. I'm rich.
Very exciting.
How about a little taste for Bean?
Congratulations.
How much did you get out of $2.12? I mean,
I'm in
dollars.
A drought, by the way, right now. I haven't won in a couple of months. I'm in a drought on HQ. It's killing me.
Sorry,
I hate it. I'm so dumb.
That's why I don't play, Bean, because I know I'm dumb, so I just don't do it.
But. What's up, Allie?
Hey.
Oh. Since we started playing this song, it's gotten nothing but universal hate.
Mm-hmm.
Because the parents who have to put up with it are tired of it.
God damn it! My kid just got over that shark song, and Omar had to make the I found it all. Screw you!
This is Omar.
I found this
on YouTube. On YouTube.
All right, those of you that think you hate it, I challenge you to hate this.
When are you going to stop singing that song? Now?
No. Grandma.
Now? No.
Little kids don't get tired of anything ever, right?
No, they don't. That's true.
Okay.
Bong Bong is something that we started talking about after we interviewed RZA. Uh-huh. And he said that at the end of an interview, and I felt like it should have made sense to me. So then we went and looked it up, and it was basically a term he made up. And now people are starting to use it in songs.
Bong 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 bong
bong bong. I like it.
Bong bong.
Bong bong had a little bong, had a little bong with bong as bong as bong.
That sounds dirty.
It does. Oh, my bong bong had a bong. Bong, ba bong, ba bong. With a bong bong here and a bong bong there. Here a bong, there a bong. Everywhere a bong bong. Oh, my bong bong had a bong. Bong, ba bong, ba bong.
I'm pretty sure she's saying bong in that one.
Yeah. Who's with me?
Bong him up, up, up. Bong him up, up, up. Bong him up, up, up. I'm on bong bong.
Pretty strong. Pretty strong work.
Hey, guys. This is Monty from Arizona. I just want to let you know your little flute bits you're doing. I love it. It sounds so terrible, but you know who's really eating themselves up inside and killing themselves because you're not having them on? Our median comedian. Remember he does this?
True.
Oh, my God. He is dying.
I forgot that he played the recorder pretty much in all of his music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did call the Afro line.
Now, if you want to have a Halloween haircut and makeup color haircut, give me a buzz, dude. Halloween is coming to your house. Why don't you come all in my house, get a haircut? Halloween! Halloween time! Haircut time, color time! Call me right away! Hey, what are you guys wearing on Halloween night? Are you getting haircuts?
Guarantee Sam is high when he calls that time. Guarantee.
Super high. Does that sound like the voice of a guy who you want to allow near your head?
It does not.
With a pair of scissors.
And yet that happens every day.
Every day.
And people know it. Yeah. And it still happens.
Yeah.
Omar pointed out, Bean, that we have not been playing Sam, the Armenian comedian's Halloween song, and how is it not in our rotation?
Well, we've sampled, we played a little bit.
Let's just hear a little more.
Okay.
I'm Sam, the Armenian comedian. It's time for a Halloween. I'm Sam, the Armenian comedian. I want to make you scream. Because I'm scaring you like a skeleton. Because I have something big in my pants. Ah! It might be Halloween time. But for my ladies, it's Halloweeny time. I want to hunt you, little kitty. Come here, little kitty, because you're so pretty.
I'm very disturbed by this.
Just can't.
I didn't know he was saying, come here, little kitty. That's not what we want, is it?
I think he means cat.
I know what he... Oh, no. You think so? Okay, good.
I hope so.
I am Sam, the spooky one. I want to shoot you with my crotch gun.
Okay.
I want to butt you in the neck. Then I will make some baklava so we can eat it. Oh, it's so spooky on Halloween. Oh, I'm so bold. I look like Mr. Clean.
All right, listen, only another minute and a half. How much do you
please,
have time
please
for?
Please, no more.
No more?
I was out at crotch gun.
323-520-AFRO.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. 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 Q.
Yes, it's over. It's over. We're done. No more baseball. No more boring baseball until next year. We can start having fun again.
Too soon, Kevin.
Too soon?
That hurts. We wanted more baseball. We wanted a travel day today and then a couple more games in Boston. That's what we wanted.
Right.
That's not what we're getting. All right. I know we're putting a lot of pressure on Matt Money Smith, but he needs to cheer us up here a little bit today. He works for AM 570, the Dodgers station. He has lived and breathed by this team for years and years and years. How bad do you feel this morning, Matt?
Oh, that's my job. Dance, monkey.
Yep.
Here's what I would say. I disagree. I didn't need that flight back to Boston because I lived it. I lived it in 2008 when the Lakers went down 0-2 to the Celtics. Came back here, won game three. We're up big in game four, only to blow it and go back 3-1 and then win game five. And then we got to fly out that freaking night to Boston just to get absolutely destroyed and humiliated and watch a goddamn Gatorade bath on a basketball court for Doc Rivers and company. And then have a long flight home that was so long, the headwinds were so strong, we had to stop in Nebraska to refuel. We didn't need to win that game last night, all right? I'm happy they lost.
Could I just ask a question?
You have to go through that. I lived it, and it was terrible.
Can I just ask, butt it in and ask a question here, Money?
Yeah.
Is this the part where you cheer us up?
Yeah. See, you're laughing. You're laughing at my failures in my uncomfortable situation.
That's true.
Why
Yeah. All right.
They were not the better team. That's all it is. They weren't. Well, they were nowhere near being the better team. I mean, that's the sad thing about last year is last year they were. Last year they were better than the Astros, and they blew it. And this year, this is what last year's World Series should have looked like. You know, Kenley Jansen should have closed out Game 2, and they should have won Game 5. And they would have been World Series champions, and the 30-year drought was over. But this year they were a flawed team. And that's why they were 10 games under 500 and needed a 163rd game to win the division.
Mm. Now, Ali, you agree with Matt that the Red Sox were a better team. We mm-hmm. spoke about that earlier today. You also believe they were massively outmanaged.
100%. And anyone that doesn't think that is an idiot.
Oh, she was about to say a goddamn idiot.
I was.
and you're right, Ali. Dave Roberts could not. Every single thing he tried failed. I mean, it is remarkable. Normally,
but at least he stuck with it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to keep going to this Ryan Madsen guy. How many runners inherited his? Is he allowed to score? That'd be all of them, Doc. Okay, let's get him back in there. You know, it is the man who is down to his last $100. Money plays, and it comes up red for the seventh time in a row. I mean, that is what Ryan Madsen was for Doc Roberts. And
but let me ask you a question. Dave Roberts tried everything. He threw out every pitcher he could on the mound, and they jacked every single pitcher. It was almost. I mean, doesn't it have a lot to do with the Red Sox being good hitters as well?
I think the most egregious, though, was lifting Rich Hill. And
yes.
It's something, you know, because we're the Dodger station, we talk to these guys a lot. Rich Hill is just one of the best dudes in baseball. He's such a great guy, and he is a fierce competitor. And this whole analytics thing of you can't let him face someone three times through the lineup drives him crazy. Because he says, look, I get better as the game goes on. He's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, the batters get to see me three times. But I get to see them three times. Right. And as someone who's in his mid-30s and has been doing this a long time, I can make adjustments. And when he's got a one-hitter going, sure, he walks a guy. So what? You know, he's got a one-hitter going.
Yes.
90 pitches. So
that was the most controversial Dave Roberts decision of the series. Even the president weighed in on Twitter about what a dumb move
but
that was.
But it was also a completely misunderstood situation. Explain that to us, Money, how Rich Hill didn't really want to come out, but Dave Roberts...
I guess here, first of all, if I had to describe it in two words, I would describe it as big mistake. but here is what people don't know, is that in the top of the seventh inning, I'm sorry, in the bottom of the sixth inning when the Dodgers were hitting, Rich Hill went to Dave Roberts and said, hey, keep an eye on me. Basically saying, look, I might be hitting that wall here. So I know I'm a bulldog like Oral Hershiser. I do not want to come off that mound, and I am not going to ask out. But use your eyes. You're a baseball guy. If it looks like this stuff isn't working, come get me. So I think having planted that seed and then going out there and walking the first guy, you know, I think those two things together may have led Dave Roberts to make an irrational decision. So it is hard to put it all on him knowing now that he had that conversation.
Yeah, but without even a conversation at the mound, though, couldn't they have at least exchanged a few words?
Listen,
Rich Hill just handed him the ball and walked off.
I mean, look, I think we all have these fantasies of, you know, if I was in the ring with Mike Tyson, I'd knock his ass out. You know, it's kind of like, if I were in the front row behind the dugout, I'd be screaming at Dave, no, don't do it. And he would look at me and he would say, really, Money? I shouldn't do it. That's right, Dave. Don't do it. Go back to the dugout. And everything would be fine. You know, I think everybody watching had, and look, everybody in the stadium had it. That's why they booed him.
Yeah.
When he came out of the dugout.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, no, you don't want to do this. You just had every reliever throw an 18-inning game last night. Stick with the guy who didn't pitch the night before.
Exactly. So. By the way, I really thought, look, there's plenty of time and there's plenty of decisions that were made that it's fun now to go back and reanalyze. But I thought the Dodgers had it in the bag after they won that 18-inning game and Boston had already burned their Game 4 starter. I thought they're not even going to be able to cobble pitchers together for the next game. I really thought that was going to be the momentum turning point and the Dodgers were going to win this thing. That was very short-lived, Matt.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I'll tell you, it's funny, that moment, though, for me being extended to a pitcher appearing like Lupus in the Bad News Bears after Yasiel Puig hit that home run and he threw his glove on the ground. Actually, it was Tanner that slammed his glove
that
on the ground.
That was a sweet moment.
That was sweet.
And I was like, okay, they're done. The Red Sox have completely unraveled. They've lost their minds. They recognize they let this thing slip away because Eovaldi had to throw those six innings in the eighth inning game they lost, and now they're screwed. And unfortunately, Rich Hill was lifted in the seventh inning and nine unanswered runs.
I love the whole narrative going into this from Boston sports fans and the media in Boston was, you know, we don't have the bullpen here in Boston. We just don't have it.
Turns out you did.
All right. I mean, I'll tell you, I think the narrative going in, Allie, and I wasn't really paying attention to those jackasses out there.
Right.
But what I thought was, the narrative was the Red Sox are a far superior team. Mm-hmm. You know, they won 108 games. They destroyed a Yankees team that won 100 games, and they destroyed an Astros team that won 103 games. So what are they going to do with a team that won 92? Probably destroy them. And I think that's ultimately what's
going on. All right, we're running low on time. Just a guess for Dave Roberts, what happens, and for Clayton Kershaw.
I think if Kershaw opts out, he's gone. I think if he opts out, he decides, you know what, I want to live in Texas. I hope the Rangers would be willing to give me $25 million a year or something. I just want to live here. This is where my family is. This is where I'm raising my kids. If he opts, I just don't see him opting out for longer term and more money because clearly he's not the same pitcher he once was. That is evident. So I would find it hard for him to land another $30 million a year deal. So I think he opts in. I think he opts in and he takes his 2 years and
he stays.
And that's that. Yeah, okay. I do. I think he stays.
Good. And Dave Roberts?
And Dave Roberts. That's a tough one because, you know, the rumors were that he wasn't Friedman's guy in the first place, and to some degree he was pressured to be hired by Mark Walter, the managing partner of the Dodgers, that he really liked. Dave.
I want him to stay, by the way. I want somebody who can take your team to the World Series 2 years in a row to manage them again.
Yeah, not to mention win the division every single year you've been the manager. So right. You win the division, you go to the World Series. That's not easy. I mean, Cubs ended their 108-year drought, but they haven't been back. I mean, the fact that the Dodgers went to back-to-back World Series is pretty remarkable, especially considering the adversity they faced this year. I mean, that is a hell of an accomplishment. So I'm sure he'll be back. There's just, and it's not like I think the Dodgers pie in the sky. It's like, well, you know, Mike Socha's out there, man, and he wants to keep managing. Should we get Mike Socha here? I mean, he's small ball.
Nope.
But not going to happen. He's not.
We've seen the way he's managed the last 15 years, right?
And I think what he would do with that folder of analytics is very major league-esque. He'd throw it on the ground and take a whiz on it.
Yeah,
and Farhan Zaidi brought it down. That's just not his style. So I think Dave comes back.
All right. Well, listen, we could talk all day. We don't have the time on our show, but I'm sure you and the P will be running every aspect of this game from all angles this afternoon on your Petros and Money radio show. As always, we adore you, Matt, and we appreciate you carving out some time during a very busy time of the year to come on and talk Dodgers with us, man. So have a great day.
Anytime. I appreciate it. Thanks, Alex, Kevin Bean.
Thank you, man.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
First, though, it's Monday. That means it's time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! You guys starting to think about that guy or gal in South Carolina who bought the winning $1.6 billion Mega Millions ticket?
Didn't give her a thought. She took my money.
I just wonder if he or she knows. I just wonder if this is going to be one of those. I know it's early to ask that question because it's only been a week, and obviously a lot of people would get their life in order before they came forward. But I'm dying to know if the person knows they've won the money yet.
Do we find out? I know that they don't have to come forward and say, I won it. They don't have to make that public. But do they have to say, yes, the person came forward?
Yes, they will.
Okay.
Yeah, they will. The Mega Millions people will say if the person comes forward.
Okay.
But so far, built $1.6 billion.
We already played the intro for a bit.
Right.
And it's called Great News.
When you wake up, all you hear is
bad news.
No, I have great
Take
news.
Take two.
So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze.
No, I'm getting to the point.
Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for
great news.
Great news today.
Great news.
And now Bean has a story that is considered great news.
An 87-year-old man named Earl Livingston of Blackwood, New Jersey, was walking to a nearby convenience store a couple of Tuesdays ago to buy a ticket for that $1.6 billion Mega Millions drawing that somebody else won but still hasn't come forward with. He's 87, guys. Aww. On his walk to buy a lottery ticket, he fell and broke his hip.
Oh, my God.
Which is bad news for an old man, as you know. He was taken to Jefferson Stratford Hospital. While in the hospital, preparing
hold on, hold
for...
on.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news.
Great news. Great news.
Bro, this is great news. He's in the bed. He's preparing for surgery to get his hip fixed, and he gets to chatting with his nurse. And
all right, here we go.
Right?
The nurse and his doctor invite him to join the hospital office lottery pool.
Yes.
They had all pulled together and bought tickets for this Mega Millions drawing, and they won it.
Are you kidding?
He had the patient had a $2 buy-in. They had all the numbers except for the last one. So losers. They got 5 out of the 6, which means they won only $1 million.
Wow.
On this ticket. This was his $2 buy-in, by the way. Everybody else on the ticket was a hospital employee. It was 141 hospital employees plus this guy, 87-year-old Earl Livingston with the bum hip.
Aww.
Which is unbelievable that they let him in on their pool and then told him about it when they won, and he gets $7,000 along with everybody else.
Did they pay it to him yet?
I didn't see whether they've actually gone and picked up the number.
Sure, of course. No problem. We've got you. We've got you. We'll tell you when the money comes in.
They're all taking pictures together. He said that the hospital staff made him feel like part of the team. He couldn't be more grateful. Here's a couple of his nieces responding to the news about what happened to their uncle.
I couldn't believe it. I'm telling you, I kept saying, why? I could not believe it. It's just kind and nice and... You know, it's just nice to know that there are good people still in this world. It's wonderful. We can't thank them enough.
We were just so overwhelmed and humbled that they did this. They didn't have to put money in for him. They didn't have to tell him that he won. They were just honest, good people.
Why is everyone so shocked that they told him he won?
This is crazy. Because they actually told him he won.
Because
it'd be so easy for them to not. That's why. Oh. And look, we see how humans treat humans these days, right?
Yeah.
But the doctors at the hospital say, as excited as we were and in the process of congratulating everyone, we never lost sight of what was important, which is to care for our patients and make them feel important. So how about that for some great news?
Oh,
sorry. I wasn't ready.
How about that for some great news?
All right, I'm going to destroy these names, and I apologize for this in advance, but this is a great story. Every year, hundreds of tourists flock to the temple town of Udupi during Krishna Jamhatami.
You're the right guy to do this story.
Thank you. There are many vibrantly dressed troops who take part in the celebration, and they get small amounts of money for their efforts because they entertain people with their costumes. Ravi Kampati spent the last 5 years dressing up as a mythological creature and movie monster so that he can raise money for children whose families cannot afford life-saving surgeries.
Oh.
He started this 5 years ago when he saw that there was a little baby who there was a doctor error and the little baby couldn't use her hand. And the family was too poor to pay for it. And he lives in poverty. This is my favorite part about it is he lives in poverty. And he started using these dressing up as these costumes to raise money for little kids that need the surgery whose parents don't have money for it. So he raised like $27,000 for one of the families to get this life-saving surgery, a guy who's poor.
Yeah.
They decided to, he and his friends decided to make costumes every year now. The costume, they picked one from Pan's Labyrinth. It was a costume, it was a character named Pawn. The costume took 1 month to make and 12 hours for him to put on. 12 hours to put this costume on. Once he was successfully put the costume on, he stayed in it for 36 hours straight because he couldn't take it off. But also people were donating money for the amount of time that he stayed in the costume.
Wow.
Now he's got an a crowdfunding page, and he has raised about $1.7 million. His goal is $2 million to help these little kids with their surgeries.
Oh, man.
Still poor.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
That he could see that and say, I'm going to raise money for them. I'm not even going to think about myself and my financial situation. They need help, so I'm going to do it.
He's probably taking a little bit.
He's got to be skipping, right?
He's
got to
be.
He's got to be skipping. Come on.
Come on. This is great news.
I like it. That's really lovely. So many little kids dream of meeting a Disney princess. So imagine this bride who is mistaken for a Disney princess. How cool that was for her.
Did she say, beat it, kid?
No, here's the thing. This is a woman named Olivia. She was in the park taking wedding photos with her husband when she just hears this little five-year-old losing her S, just screaming, Cinderella, Cinderella, running up to her. But the part that's really phenomenal is that this is a five-year-old girl named Layla who has autism. She doesn't connect with strangers. So her mom seeing this was like, oh, my little girl is so into this. And all she wants to do is chat with this princess. Mm-hmm. She thought it was Cinderella. So they chatted. They took a bunch of pictures. And then the bride said she had a ball to get to, so she had to leave. But they have stayed in contact. And this is so adorable. They've stayed in contact. They've had little picnics together. She also arranged for to have one of those big pumpkin carriages show up. Mm-hmm. So the little girl could take a picture in the pumpkin carriage. And somebody started a GoFundMe for this little girl to go to Disney World to meet other Disney princesses.
You can never see what happiness I have in me.
That's not what she said.
I believe it's what she feels, though. But it's just such a lovely story for this woman who, I don't know if you've ever taken pictures in your wedding dress. You want to get those done, get back to the party type of thing. So I've heard. But to be that joyful and so kind to this little girl and take the time. Her mother said that she's the epitome of what a real life princess would be. She's kind, she's sweet, and she went out of her way to be nice to Layla. And it's not saying beat a kid. It's just a lovely story about just taking the time to make a little kid's day. And the pictures that we will post, just some of the cutest things.
Yeah,
this little
very sweet
girl just looking up at her. Ugh. I can't. And that's
kids, they're a giant waste of time and money.
Again, not what we're saying. That's my
great news. All right, we have tickets for the WWE. If you would like to call now, this is November 20th at Staples, WWE SmackDown. We're going to play a game next, 1-800-520-1067. If you know wrestling, you should be able to play the game and win the tickets.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. All right, wrestling fans, this is a big deal. Anytime WWE is in town at Staples Center, WWE SmackDown Live is going to be there on November the 20th. You can buy your tickets at AXS.com, or you can win them right now with a game that we like to call Real Move, Fake Move.
Real move, fake move, just like that. Real move, fake move, just like that. Real move, fake move, just like that. Hell yeah, SmackDown is where it's at.
Oh yeah, brother!
All right, Allie, you are a wrestling aficionado. What do we need to know about this game with our callers on hold?
I'm going
to
give you three moves. You just have to tell me which of the three is the real move.
Oh, right. That sounds simple enough.
Easy enough, right?
All right, let's start with Alfred in Anaheim. Good morning, Alfred.
Morning.
Hey, Alfred. Here are your three moves. Which one is real? Is it the Tongan Tickle, the Samoan Drop, or the Mexican Shuffle?
Samoan Drop.
Yes, it is.
Boom. You're in the drawing. Congratulations.
Hey,
by the way, don't discount the Tongan Tickle, though, if you can get somebody to do it to you. It's worth it.
It is a delight.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Andy in Torrance. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Andy, which one is the real move? Is it the super high stash, the supernatural crash, or the super fly splash?
The super fly splash.
Yeah.
Real move, fake move. Just like that.
Yeah.
Snooka, snooka.
I always forget how much our wrestling fans know.
Yeah, we are. Victor in Commerce is next. Hi, Victor.
Hi.
Hey, Victor, which one is the real move? Is it the power bomb, the power grid, or the power ranger?
The power bomb.
Indeed. Real move, fake move,
just like that. Our friend Jack Black has a power bomb too, by the way. It's very different.
Is it Jaime in Los Angeles?
It's Jaime.
Okay. I thought I said pretty close to that. Welcome. Hi.
What's up, bud?
Welcome, Jaime. Which one is the real move? Is it the Big Lebowski, the Three Amigos, or the Tommy Boy?
The Tommy Boy.
Oh, it's the Three Amigos.
Not so full of yourself now, are you, Jaime?
Emphasis on the meh, right?
Let's go to John in Alhambra. Good morning, John.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. All right, which one is the real move? Is it the yes lock, the cock block, or the booty drop?
The yes lock.
It is indeed.
That is correct.
Nicely done. Real move, fake move,
just like that. If you're just joining us, we're giving away tickets to WWE SmackDown Live at Staples Center November 20th. This is the edition of the game where Allie thinks she can say anything on the air.
Can I not say that one?
I mean, if it's a move.
Yeah, it's...
John C. in Valencia.
Hello.
Oh, my God. Is this John Cena?
Good morning.
I don't think it's John Cena.
John Cena, I can't see you.
John C.
Are you there?
Just to see. It's just the beginning of it.
Okay. All right. Which one is the real move? Is it Pirate Spider? Is it Black Widow? Is it Recluse?
Black Widow.
It is. Real move, fake move,
just like that. We're getting a lot of folks in the drawing here to win these tickets.
A 5 out of 6 so far. Let's go to John F. in Van Nuys. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hey, John, which one is the real move? Is it the stunner, the hottie, or the bay?
The stunner.
Yeah. Real move, fake move. Yeah. Just
like that. I feel like I've done the stunner, by the way.
You haven't. Let's go to Nelson in Los Angeles. Hi, Nelson.
Ew.
Right?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, Bean's done the stunner.
That was his nickname in college.
Good Lord. All right, Nelson, which is the real move? Is it the rifleman, the marksman, or the sharpshooter?
The sharpshooter.
Indeed.
Yeah, all right.
Damn, these guys are good.
7 out of 8.
Nice. I mean, seriously, you're all in the drawing. Only one will win tickets for WWE.
What?
WWE SmackDown Live at Staples Center November the 20th. Is it going to be Alfred or Andy, Victor or John, or Nelson? A lot of Johns. Only one can win. Who's it going to be today, please?
The winner is Alfred.
Yeah! Alfred, congrats.
Yeah! Woo. Oh, yeah!
You got the tickets. Thanks for playing the game. Real move, fake move, just like that. Real move,
fake move, just like that. The Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock. Only a couple more days for Halloween spooks, you guys.
Right? Yeah, that's great news.
Halloween. Halloween, Halloween, do Halloween. Sing it if you know it. Ghostly things are going to happen. Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree. I remember the buzzing part in the original song. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane. Now, I have it on best authority, the Kevin and Bean listeners who were listening while I
was
out
last week. They lie.
That there was very little Halloween spooks on the program.
We got some in Friday.
They tell the truth. There was very little. You're right about that.
Okay. Was there any two eyeballs?
Yes.
Yes, there was.
Yes.
Oh, there was some two eyeballs.
Yes.
Yeah, so and we did do Halloween spooks on Friday.
Correct.
Was there any king-size candy?
No, that was a fail.
Okay. Wow. Got to get some king thing. Let me ask you about a couple of other things, because you know I always have many questions when I'm off for a week. I come back from vacation. A couple quick questions, and then we'll get to flute fails, because I'm very curious about that as well. How did it go with a guest I was very excited about coming in, very sad to miss, Derek Lewis?
Oh, it was great. My balls was hot?
My balls was hot.
Yeah. Took him a minute to wake up, but then when he did, it was great.
Yeah, he was.
It's tough getting fighters in the morning because that's not their time.
Of course not. Yeah, but he is personality plus, as delightful as we hope.
He just makes everything up on the fly. It's crazy.
And tell me, where are we in our escalating feud with that punk ass bitch Jonah Hill? What's going on with Jonah Hill?
We were so disappointed that he didn't come in last week.
Because he shouted, for folks who don't know, he sort of shouted us out on the he was on the Breakfast Club right in New York.
Yes.
And he was just oohing and aahing over how they're his favorite show. He's like, I don't go on Kevin and Bean and tell them they're my favorite show.
Right.
So we couldn't wait to play that tape.
I thought
for
that
him.
Was funny, and I thought it would
I
be funny,
it funny too.
When we had him in, but then we found out he didn't just cancel us, he canceled his whole radio tour.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, that's too bad. That would have been fun.
So he wasn't trying to just get away from
no.
us.
No.
Okay.
No, he doesn't care about us.
Okay. And the other thing I had, I guess, was flu feel. I guess
yes.
We covered Burrito Gate earlier today. We got to the bottom of that. Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
Now let's hear about flu feel. What's this
well,
all about?
When they say flute, they mean recorder because that's what they're playing. But Jensen does a feature called, I found it on YouTube, and he found an incredible amount of flute fails. You can look it up on YouTube, and there's just hundreds and hundreds of them where people are trying to play a recorder along with music. Here's the example that he gave us. At the time we aired that's pretty good.
Really?
Yes, yeah. Until we tried it.
I am going to tell you that every Kevin and Bean show from now on will start with that piece of tape.
I'm not positive that that's a great idea. let's do Allie's first.
Yeah, I thought, I could do something really upbeat and really rock it, but why not do something tender and something that would make you feel?
So, had you played the recorder before?
About 8 seconds before the segment, I just blew into it to see how it would work.
Okay.
It didn't.
We all did, and then everybody was like, can anyone get it to make any other sound except for that one note?
Yeah.
But this is what I don't understand. Isn't the recorder the simplest instrument to play, and that's why they give it to people in fourth grade?
I mean, it is easy to play in that you just have to blow on it, but your finger work, it's very difficult at least to figure it out at the beginning how to change notes.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear Allie. Oh,
very tender song. Exact same note every time. It's sort of painful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Sort of.
I mean, it's a little painful in
it
that you can't change the notes.
The Adele record.
Mm-mm.
Correct, yes.
No.
Here was Jensen. By the way, we posted these online as well, and you can see them. This is mine. I figured I'd go with Rage Against the Machine because then it didn't matter how bad I was. They would drown me out.
They would carry it. Why haven't they asked you to join the band?
Right? That's
my
fear.
The question.
That's my fear, is they're going to get back together. They're going to say only under one condition,
right.
And that's that Kevin plays the recorder.
And you have to.
Right. So they did a really good job of putting the music video behind and then putting us in a tiny little corner to play along with it. And since we couldn't play the recorder, and you have been trying to learn the ukulele.
Right.
And can't play it yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting we do a ukulele fail. That you play along with a song, and you're going to say, I don't know how. We didn't know how to play the recorder either, and it sounded terrible.
That is fair enough. By the way, if you want to see those videos, you can just use @KevinandBean on Instagram and Twitter to see them. I have been giving a lot of thought to my ukulele. I did start off with a great deal of passion and enthusiasm.
No.
Come on,
and,
man!
And I still intend to be a great ukulele player. I really do. It's something I'm committed to.
Is it?
I just
how do you show your commitment?
By not playing.
How much time have you played?
None.
Okay.
I've played none.
But practice.
None. I haven't practiced with. Haven't picked it
up. Okay, but you watched a YouTube tutorial on how to play it, even though you didn't.
I'm going to do that. Yes, I haven't done that.
Okay.
Is it out of the box?
Yeah, it's out of the box.
Okay, okay.
Because remember like a month ago, I took it over to a friend's house, and we sat on the porch doing some picking and grinning, and
you
didn't do that?
I did. He showed me.
You may have grinned. You didn't pick.
All right. I was watching him pick. He showed me how to, you know, where to put, how to tune it and where to put your fingers and things like that. And I realized at that point, it's much more difficult than I expected it would be. But here's the thing that you guys need to know is that on the inside, I am a euchre.
Okay? Is that right?
I identify as a euchre.
Uh-huh.
But it's not, it doesn't show on the outside yet.
Is it going to show on the outside? Now you don't have access to your euchre?
No, not right now, but I think I will later today.
Okay, so later today, we would like for it to move to the outside so that we could watch you like they filmed us playing along with your favorite song or one of your favorite songs.
Yeah, look, it'll be terrible, but based on what I've just heard, how bad could it be?
It's not very high of a bar.
How bad could it be, right? Yeah, I'll try that. And by the way, I'm serious about this. It's something I very much I know it's something I want
Stop
to do.
It.
I got to let that inner euch out, you know? And it's just, I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm also the same guy who has been serious about and really, really wanted to learn Spanish for the last 30 years.
Yeah, you always say these things that you're super serious about.
I'm going to do it, though.
You don't even take one baby step. Nothing.
I'm not great at follow through.
No, you're not.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Allie is here with What's Happening on a Monday.
50 Cent and Ja Rule have been beefing for what seems like decades, and it has reached a level of petty.
Great.
That I am super into.
I love the petty beef.
It's way petty beef. It's a now deleted Instagram post, but 50 Cent posted this on Friday. I just bought 200 seats in the front row so they can be empty. LOL. He then posted Photoshop pictures of empty seats and Ja Rule envisioning the concert looking out at those empty seats. He said he bought the tickets on Groupon, spending at least $3,000. He just really wanted to get under his skin, and so he'd have to be looking out, seeing empty seats. But then other people were like, dude, you just put money in Ja Rule's pocket. So I don't know how great that level of petty is, especially now if he knows this ahead of time, he can fill those seats with people.
Oh, good point.
Oh, but my God, 50 Cent, what is going on? I kind of dig it.
I love
it's
that.
It's kind of funny.
It's very funny. Bean, you get your early dates for the Kiss Army?
I have not looked at them yet. I see that they were announced this morning, the first leg of their farewell tour. This time they mean it.
Yeah, whether you believe it or not, they say this upcoming tour is indeed their last. You guys, Kiss is, they're going all over the place. It's not bad. 65 dates across two continents. And if you're wondering about LA dates, we know them now. Anaheim, the Honda Center, will be on February the 12th. And here in Los Angeles, at the Forum, on February 16th. But here's the part of this article that I just kind of enjoyed reading. Asked what the difference was going to be between their farewell tour in 2000 and now. And Paul Stanley said, the 2000 farewell tour was at the end of the time where we had brought back two original members, meaning Ace Frehley and Peter Criss. And it was such a drudgery and so difficult and so unhappy.
That's what you want to hear about it from a band.
That it just seemed like, let's put the horse down. After the tour was over, it didn't take me long to realize I didn't want to say goodbye to the band. I wanted to say goodbye to two members.
Wow.
Holy. Oof. Good
That's
Lord.
Disappointing to hear only because, look, if you're a Kiss fan, you like seeing all four original members
together. You can't tell who's up there.
You do. and it would be nice. It would be great if they could make amends.
How about if I follow it up with this? That said, Stanley won't rule out appearances by Ace Frehley or Criss or any other former member, saying, I wouldn't rule anything out.
Okay.
So you just diss them in the biggest way ever. Then, but maybe if you're down there in Fresno, they might show up.
That's weird.
It is insane.
Gene and Paul have a very strict no drug and alcohol policy, and that has been very difficult for other members to live by.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, Bean. Will you go to that show?
I probably will try to see the Farewell Kiss show, yes.
How many times have you seen Kiss?
I don't know. Many over the years. Mm-hmm. Many times.
Many meaning more than 10?
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
They are one of those bands who, and you talk about groups that you like, Kevin, that put on a spectacle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's so much going on. There's so, Muse is like that. There's so much going on into the staging. You know what I mean? Into the lights, into the effects, into the drones, into everything else they do. Kiss is like that on a different, you know, on a different level. But it's just, it's visually and it's loud and they have so many great songs and I think I'd enjoy it.
Well, February 22nd in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center.
Fantastic.
Just go for the name, right? Smoothie King. I dig that. Yeah, but I think that Kevin's right. How do you even know who's up there?
Right?
I mean, Gene, you do.
You can tell Gene.
Just big. Yeah. And I guess
I know
Paul,
what you're saying, because they wear makeup, does it matter? I think there is still, you still do hope for some authenticity. Look, Ace Frehley is a great guitar player. That's not to say other people can't play his songs, but you want to see the, you want to see Ace, you know? That's all.
I get it. I totally get it. Speaking of spectacles, I wasn't able to fill you in on Bruno Mars. Wow, Bean, you would have loved it. Like, if you liked good things. That's what I'm saying.
Was he there, or did you just send out a hologram of Morris Day and call it a night?
How dare you? How dare you? He was wonderful. Like, life-changing, you guys.
I mean, now I have to take Bean's side.
That's too far. That's too far. I get it. So, Demi Lovato's mom, Diana De La Garza, was on Maria Menounos' podcast, and she said that her daughter, Demi, is 90 days sober, which is a very good thing to hear. And she also...
Demi Lovato!
Yes. She also said she couldn't be more thankful and proud of her because addiction, being a disease, it's work. It's not easy. And there are no shortcuts. And she was asked if she had any idea that Demi was back doing something. And she said, I knew that she wasn't sober, but let me clarify, I didn't know what she was doing because she doesn't live with me. She's 26. I just knew that she wasn't sober, and that's all I really knew at the time. So that must be incredibly hard for her mother. So,
all right, I'll sober up and try to listen to this.
All right. Well, she has 90 days, so that is a good thing. And Justin Timberlake has to reschedule two more tour dates. He has bruised vocal cords.
Oh.
You don't want that.
No.
And he's canceling shows. He postponed shows at Madison Square Garden last week due to it. And now his Sunday show in Buffalo. These are big shows that he's like, I can't do it. Not a good situation. You don't want bruised vocal cords.
No, agreed.
When you're a singer. That much,
I
know.
That's a hot take right there.
Thank you so much.
Or
you guys
don't want to go to Buffalo in late October.
Both.
I mean, I think late October is when you want to go to Buffalo.
If you have to go to Buffalo at all.
Absolutely. But at Madison Square Garden, he postponed that.
Yeah.
That's all right. Troubling.
He's not faking it.
No, he is not.
He always assumes.
Insane.
The worst.
So, Iman, we all know her. She's a supermodel, married to David Bowie. Mm-hmm. She told an interviewer that she will never marry again after losing her husband of 24 years, David Bowie. She said, quote, I will never remarry. I mentioned my husband the other day with someone, and they said to me, you mean your late husband? And I said, no, he's always going to be my husband. Like, who is saying to her, oh, you mean the dead one? Like,
why
who would someone say that? What is happening?
Oh, hold on. You're talking about your dead husband?
You mean David Bowie? He's dead.
Who would say that? Guy? That's a good question.
What is that?
She's talking to the wrong people.
That's what I'm saying.
And speaking of David Bowie, would you like to have a 20-pound note? You know, an English money 20-pound with David Bowie's picture on it?
Yeah.
Well, there's a petition. And here's how you can sign up to get him a pound note.
20-pound note, you said.
It's www.change.org.
But there's
Let's
no dot
to that,
after?
Sign the petition.
Okay.
And then there may be some...
Rodney, come on.
He was given a long, it was too much to keep track of in my head.
That's all it was. How dare you? He wasn't
done. It's been a while. Come on, you want me to play Halloween music or not?
He wasn't done. Let him. Let him.
He might have what, Bean? He might have what? I want to hear you finish that.
I wanted to hear the end of how we're supposed to help with the 20-pound note.
It's all just going to be a mystery.
I mean, it's all right. I guess so. I think it's okay.
Some birthdays for you. Toblo, Tracy Ellis Ross, what? Gabrielle Union, Winona Ryder and the man that sat with Beer Mug and quite frankly had to feel like he was speaking to one of the best interviewers of our time. Happy birthday to Richard Dreyfuss.
Well, Richard, thank you for your time. You are truly one of my inspirations. I'm not an actor, but you, comedic-wise, like, I mean, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything. And Mr. Dreyfuss, thank you so much.
We really don't know if he was there, do we?
Not at that point. Wouldn't you have walked if you were Richard Dreyfuss?
No, I'd want to know how it ends. What is this kid saying? And that's what's happening.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Look, I know Andrew Siciliano's job is to come on Monday mornings and recap the NFL weekend for us because he's an expert. That's what he does. But do you think he can make us feel, he can spend a minute on making us feel better about the Dodgers series? Andrew, you got that in you this morning?
I mean, can I tell you the truth? When it was, I think they made it 5-1 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm, 5-1.
I went to the movies.
You went what? To the movies?
I went to the movies. I couldn't stomach watching another team celebrate there, and particularly the Red Sox.
Okay.
Like, of all the, like, if you wanted me to make you feel better, I'll say the Fenway Frank sucks also.
All right.
Okay. You'd be wrong there, because that bread is delicious.
That thing is just disgusting.
Somebody said earlier, I wish I could give credit to this, but I thought this was interesting, and then we'll move on to the NFL this weekend.
Yes.
But somebody said that the Red Sox have become the Yankees because they're the team that everyone loves to hate that wins all the time. And here's part two. The Dodgers have become the Red Sox, which is the team that goes decades between wins and always figures out a way to lose the big one.
That's just hurtful.
Because it hasn't been since Gibson. Yeah, the Red Sox thing, ever since they won it again, what, the first time was 03, when it's really cute when we could say they win every year after a Russian Revolution. Ha, 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 ha. Right, they became everything that they hated for generations and generations.
Now even they're four times in 15 years they won. And I think, Allie, you're generally happy when they win, except when they win over the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, I was rooting for the Dodgers. But I'm telling you, when I saw that lineup release yesterday, I knew it was over. It was over. Good night.
Let's sit Cody Bellinger the last night.
Yeah,
sure,
let's put Kike batting third. What are you doing?
Yeah, that makes sense. You've been home the night before. I get it. But that 03 roided up Red Sox team forever lives in infamy.
Yep. You mean 04?
04, right.
Whatever it was. You know what? They were roided up the year before, too.
let's talk some positive sports news. You know, we had that. What were they calling it yesterday?
They're calling it Sportsmageddon.
Yes. There were five teams playing locally, at the same time. Let's talk about the happy Rams news, because although it was a very close game, the Rams are 8-0, and you've been saying since week one they're the best team in football, Andrew.
And they proved it again yesterday, and yesterday was awesome because, yes, there were many Packer fans there. Granted, I was watching from the studio in the marina. However, although the atmosphere was amazing, you had two fantastic teams. You had Aaron Rodgers heading to the Hall of Fame. As Jared Goff said afterwards, I mean, he's the best of all time. Everyone knows it. Sorry, Tommy, or Tommy, whatever. And they play next week. And then you had just these great moments. I mean, you had Todd Gurley tackling himself inside the 5-yard line rather than scoring a touchdown and giving Aaron Rodgers the ball back.
Making gamblers happy everywhere.
Yeah. Yes, honest to goodness, people don't believe me that I don't look at the lines that much, if at all. I had no idea that affected gambling. I just realized that fantasy people would be upset.
Sure.
And then you have Ty Montgomery, and I don't know if people saw, you know, Ty Montgomery fumbles the kickoff.
Yes.
So Aaron Rodgers doesn't get a chance to come back and rip the Rams' hearts out and make all those people there at the Coliseum happy. And then you get that reaction shot of Rodgers on the sideline basically dropping F-bombs on Montgomery, you know, pointing at the field. And Mike Silver writes on NFL.com today, my colleague, that Montgomery was angry because he wasn't on the field for the last series offensively, and they told him don't run it out, but he was ticked off and ran it out anyway because of the whole you're not playing me on offense thing.
Well, I'll tell you the thing about the Rams that was really impressive is they find a different way to win when they need to, and it's amazing.
Yeah, every single time, and whether it's Gurley or Goff or Aaron Donald, who is on pace for 20 sacks.
Or the special teams even yesterday.
Or special teams, or Josh Reynolds scoring touchdowns when Cooper Kupp is out. Listen, this is the most ridiculous stretch. They got Aaron Rodgers this time. Next week, they have to go to New Orleans and face Drew Brees. Now, they beat him here last year, but this Saints team in the last 2 weeks has gone to Baltimore, beaten the best defense in football, and then last night, gone to Minnesota and beaten the Vikings. That's ridiculous. And now the Rams have to go there.
Okay.
The Rams get the Seahawks after that, and then the Chiefs in Mexico City after that on Monday night before Thanksgiving. If they somehow get to their bye week undefeated, that would just be ridiculous.
Let me ask another question about being undefeated. That can sometimes get in your way of winning a Super Bowl.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like that's your goal, and then when you lose one time, it sort of takes the air out of your sails.
I've heard passionate arguments on both sides of this. Like, get the loss out of the way so you don't think about it anymore. Right, I guess. I hear what you're saying. But then there's also you made it all the way there and then lost, right, Allie? And I'm sorry.
It happened.
And then people talk about that all the time as well. I think, don't get mad at me, and people in Thousand Oaks, if you're driving to your jobs with the Rams today, don't get mad at me. This could be the loss this week in New Orleans. This game is tough.
By the way, yesterday was the same thing.
Yep.
But sure. if they lose a game, they're going to be fine.
Right.
It's not like they're going to fall apart.
I just want to see Sean McVay happy, you guys. I want him to keep winning, and he's a gorgeous man.
Especially when he smiles.
Yes.
Yes.
She does. I've seen his girlfriend. I'll sit this one out.
She was very much like that.
She's wonderful. She's wonderful. I was not suggesting that kind of introduction. Just an introduction. So maybe you could put the photo on Instagram. Like fans in the K-Rock kitchen.
That would be really nice.
Yes.
We are talking to Andrew Siciliano, host of the NFL Up to the Minute and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. I wanted to, at least if we have time, for one more thing, because I've never heard you as excited. In fact, a listener sent us a clip. I wish I had it available of how high your voice went with the excitement over what Ryan Fitzpatrick was doing yesterday. So Jameis Winston is dead man walking with the Bucs, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. At this point, you can't throw that many interceptions and still keep your job. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in, and then all of a sudden, it's Fitz magic, and you were loving it, Andrew.
My voice went really high.
Yeah, it was odd.
And people were tweeting me the video. I thought you were going to give me grief for making up a word yesterday. Wow. I made up an adjective, and it wasn't intentional.
We're not done.
I just had two words in my head, and it came out as fantaculous.
I mean, I got to be honest. I don't understand. Oh yeah, that's me every day.
Fantaculous.
People were tweeting hashtag fantaculous at me.
I mean, it's genius.
I was going to say fantastic, and then I was going to say, I guess, fabulous, and it came out fantaculous.
I don't hate it. I got to hate it as well. Sometimes that's appropriate, I think.
Sure. Also, I did run down the hall to use the bathroom yesterday, Allie.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
You lost your streak a while ago. Now it doesn't even matter.
You got that first loss out of the way early. Last week for the first time. And much like a night out with the friends, once you go once, what does it matter?
Right.
Anymore?
What does it matter?
It's true.
Exactly.
What does it matter anymore?
Well, it was a very exciting weekend, I guess is what we're saying, as they all seem to be. I mean, there's never a Monday that rolls around, Andrew, where we don't have something super fun to talk to you about, and I guess that's what makes the sport great, right?
Well, you also had Adam Vinatieri, who's 45 years old, now become the leading scorer in the 99-year history of the league, and you had a 33-year-old running back in Adrian Peterson running for 150 yards and looked like a 23-year-old running back, and you had Josh Rosen win a game at the end. Hey, Todd Gurley has scored more points than the Buffalo Bills. That's a fact.
That's
and until that final Cardinals touchdown, he had scored more than the Cardinals.
All right, take it easy.
Last question, Andrew. True or false? I hear that the red hot Raiders 49ers matchup for Thursday night has been flexed to an Etch a Sketch. Is that true?
Ooh, wow. It's on NFL harsh. Network that I highly suggest you watch. But I will say this. Here's why you should enjoy this game. Okay? There is an outside chance that the Raiders have to play their home games next year in the 49ers building in Santa Clara.
What?
What?
Because the Raiders don't have a lease next year, and the city of Oakland and the Raiders are at a little bit of an impasse because the Raiders are getting up to leave for Vegas in 2 years.
Right.
And the Raiders just want to basically stay on the couch for one more year at Oakland, like, you know, figuratively speaking. Uh-huh. And they can't come to an agreement. And the Copper Bowl, you know, Sam Boyd, where UNLV plays, has already said, we don't want you, right? You don't come here. So
they might have to play.
Necessarily have a place to play. And there is a chance that they go to Santa Clara and share a building with the 49ers.
Oh, my gosh.
Oof.
And there's no, forgive me if this is a stupid question, the schedule doesn't work if they just play all road games, right?
No, they can't do that. Although I'm sure they kicked the idea around. They could make it like a traveling, you know, kind of road show. And, hey, everybody, come see the Raiders when they come to town.
I'd hate to see that. Throw the Raiders off what's a very good streak for them.
Wow.
I hate to destroy all that momentum.
My God.
All right. The deadline is tomorrow, so let's see if the Raiders trade anything else away.
Up to the minute on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sundays. Andrew, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Love you guys. Bye.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
It's Halloween, of course, so we're talking scary movies. We were having a conversation off the air about our favorite scary movies, and we tried to come up with a top five.
We're terrible at
and
top
you know
five.
How that usually goes. Because
how scary is the new Halloween, by the way? What are you hearing about that? The new Halloween film.
I've heard really good things.
Mm-hmm.
But
super
I haven't
scary?
Seen it. I've heard that it's really, I don't know, I've heard that it's really good, so I assume it's scary.
What is your kind of scary, Kevin? You love scary movies. Are you a psychological scary movie guy? Are you a blood and guts guy? Are you a...
I'm not really a blood and guts guy, but The Exorcist is my number one.
It's considered by many to be the scariest movie of all time.
Yeah.
And I think that's because it's a little girl who turns so terrifying.
How long are you planning to stay in Reagan?
Until she rots and lies stinking in the earth. What's that?
Holy water.
You keep it away. It burns!
Second for me is the original Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Third is The Conjuring. You guys remember The Conjuring? It was like, it wasn't about demon possession, but it was like a house that was possessed and the demons were torturing the people in there. Do you remember that?
Ugh.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Understand this, we are now fighting for her soul.
In the name of Jesus Christ, the saints and all the angels, I command you to reveal yourself.
You know what? It may be possession, Bean.
That may be your thing.
That may be my thing. And then number four is The Ring. And here's a little clip from that.
7 days.
I do remember The Ring was one of those movies that seemed like it changed everything in horror movies. It was a new kind of horror movie. And maybe it was just because we hadn't been exposed to as many of those Japanese films as we had, you know, have been since.
Right.
But everything seemed different after The Ring. And there are just some visual images that stick with you. And that girl with that hair coming up out of that well is just something you'll never forget.
Same thing goes on with Poltergeist, which is my number five.
Son of a bitch, you moved the cemetery, but you left the bodies, didn't you? You son of a bitch, you left the bodies and you only moved the headstones! You only moved the headstones!
Remember when he jumps in the pool?
Yes.
Oh, so
and
good.
It's muddy and oh.
So good.
God.
By the way, the you only move the headstones guy, that's information we could have used yesterday.
He didn't know, he's just figuring it out.
We are taking your calls, by the way, on this topic just in time for Halloween, because you may have a movie that's one of the scariest of all time that our listeners haven't tried yet, and maybe they're looking for something for the season. So call us at 1-800-520-1067. You can always text us as well, but we're looking forward to including your phone calls. Allie, you came up with a list as well.
I did. A couple of the same ones on there, The Exorcist and Poltergeist, and I think of Poltergeist all the time.
You do.
Because my family moved into a house with a huge oak tree in the front yard, and I don't think I slept for months. And then we had the big lightning storm a couple weeks ago, and I was just counting in between the lightning and the thunder, because that's how you can tell how close it is. I learned that in Poltergeist.
Sure.
I hate little clown dolls. It messed me up. The Exorcist messed me up in a whole other way. But then The Omen.
Oh, The Omen.
Oh, so creepy.
Look at me, Damien.
It's all for you.
That was a good one, too.
Terrifying.
That
terrifying.
Was a good one, too.
And The Shining.
Oh, sure.
Good God.
Here's Johnny.
One of the biggest lines of all time, right?
Ever. Absolutely. Just terrifying. But there was also a movie a lot of old school horror fans have seen it. I don't think a lot of people present day have watched it. But it's a movie called Don't Look Now. And it's Donald Sutherland and this terrifying little troll person with a red coat. And it's just, it's all this buildup to the last little bit. And and there's a sex scene in it. And I shouldn't have been watching it with my babysitter at the time. And she got in a lot of trouble from my parents. But
there seems to be a lot of I shouldn't have been watching at that age in your life.
A lot of babysitter showing me stuff I shouldn't have seen.
Mm.
And I respect it. Thank you, Kathy Ryan.
Let's take a couple of calls. 1-800-520-1067. Talking about the scariest movies you've ever seen. And we've got, I think we got Ruben up first. He's got one to recommend on line one, please.
Morning, Ruben.
Hey, good morning.
Hi there. What's
the scariest possession movie has to be The Right.
The Right. Now, tell us about that. That does not sound familiar to me.
I don't think I've heard of that.
Anthony Hopkins gets possessed. He's a priest, and it flips you out because now another priest has to take care of this possessed priest, and it's just mind-blowing.
Oh, it's The Right, R-I-T-E?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I think I might need to watch that again.
Yeah.
You need to watch it.
Speaking of Anthony Hopkins, would you guys consider Silence of the Lambs a horror movie that could be one of the scariest movies of all time?
I think some people would. I don't think of it as a horror movie. I just think it's creepy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does qualify.
Yeah.
But not for everyone.
All right. Thank you for the call, Ruben. We appreciate it. Let's do one more before the break, and let's make it Jason, line 7. The one he has is the one I was going to suggest in my top 5 of scariest movies of all time.
Jason.
Hi.
Hi there. Scariest movie of all time.
The Human Centipede.
Oh.
Amen. Did you have, when you saw that movie, did you have dreams / nightmares about that for months?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was horrible. When the second movie came out, I couldn't even think about watching it.
Yeah, well, the second one wasn't as good anyway.
Yeah,
the first
third
was awful.
Third was awful. So much so.
Yeah. Here's the thing, and thank you, Jason, you're absolutely right. Here's the thing. People saw the trailer or the poster or whatever they saw for Human Centipede and just thought it was just going to be a big, giant poop fest, all right? It's not. It's a great movie. Psychologically, it's terrifying. It's one of those movies that doesn't show you nearly as much as you're forced to imagine, but here's a clip.
100% medically accurate. Mouth to anus. One digestive system. Is this a perverted film you've been talking about?
I mean, mouth to anus may have turned a lot of people off.
It shocks me that you saw it.
Right?
It was great. We had the director on, too, and we were like, what kind of evil, demented genius could have made this movie? And he came on and went, hey, Kevin and Bean, how are you? It's so great to be here. Like having Krusty the Clown on. We couldn't believe it was the same dude. But I'm telling you, trust us on this. If you never saw The Human Centipede, get it. It's great. 1-800-520-1067. What do you want to add to the list as the scariest movie of all time? We'll take your calls and texts next on K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
We're talking scary movies, and we've got James in Redondo Beach. Good morning, James.
Good morning. So my worst scary movie has to be the original It, but one that's overlooked is the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, I did love the Blair Witch Project, except for it made me sick because there was so much motion. All right, we get it.
That's why it's so scary.
We get it. You're carrying a video camera. All right.
If you were willing to suspend disbelief and believe that it was actually found footage and that it was real and then it happened, it was the most terrifying thing. Once you knew it was actors pretending, it took a little of the sting out of it.
I mean, the truth is, all of these are actors pretending, Bean.
Or are they?
That's a good question.
Eraserhead was real, man.
It's sad when a mother has to speak the words that condemn her own son. But I couldn't allow them to believe that I would commit murder. They'll put him away now, as I should have, years ago. He was always bad. And in the end, he intended to tell them I killed those girls.
Put her away until she loses that accent. That's what I say. Talking about the scariest movies of all time here on the Kevin and Bean Show a couple days before Halloween, Francisco writes in from the 323, Eight-Legged Freaks was mine. After I saw that movie, I've been scared of spiders my whole life.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that. That's good.
From the 626, Hereditary. It came out this year, but it haunts me every single day. This movie will literally mess you up. Hereditary. Is that one you missed?
I heard about it. I missed it. Yeah, I heard about it. And I heard great things from people who went to see it.
All right, we're taking some calls. I want to get into a couple here that I don't know because I think it'd be interesting to learn why they're so scary. Let's go to line six, please. Let's say hi to Melanie. She is in Woodland Hills. Hey, Melanie, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's the scary movie we're missing?
Oh, gosh. So we just watched it last night. It's called As Above, So Below. And I'm pretty jaded when it comes to horror movies, but the claustrophobia and this movie will kill you. It's crazy.
That's what we're looking for. It's a movie that'll kill us.
Is this somebody buried alive or something?
No. A hot anthropologist goes looking for the Philosopher's Stone in the catacombs under Paris.
Well, that's just dumb.
And... Right? Seriously, I don't know what she was thinking, but okay. Obviously it goes horribly wrong.
Okay. All right. That's a great tip for somebody looking for something new for the holiday. Thank you very much. Now let's go to line eight and Valerie. Let's get an all-time classic to balance that out and see what you guys think about her choice.
Hey, Valerie.
Hi. So when I was 4 years old, my parents went to see a movie called Carrie.
Yep.
And when my babysitter, who was 16, came over, I told her I was upset because I watched a cartoon called Carrie, and I thought they were going to see that. And she'd seen it the night before, and she said, oh, no, it's not the cartoon. It's about... And then she proceeded to tell me the entire movie.
That's sweet of her.
The kid's blood, the hand in the grave. I was four.
Yeah.
I had... nightmares about Carrie my whole life.
It's
I didn't even see it until I was 30.
It's possible you were too young for that at four.
And the dirty pillows. Remember?
It was awful. But then I saw it when I was 30, and it was worse.
It was worse.
Yeah. You've kind of done it to yourself at this point. All right. Sorry, Valerie. Sorry to hear about that. Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's go to Mary, line two, please. Manhattan Beach, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Scary movies.
Hey, Mary.
Hi, good morning. Paranormal Activity.
There were a bunch of those, right? And this is another one that kind of, it's like video surveillance that you're watching, right?
Oh, yes, and creepy beyond all creepy. The first one was great.
Do you remember the scene where the pool cleaner was moving around the pool, and then it went dark, and then 1 second later it was out of the pool? That was so scary. And then I went home and our pool cleaner was out of the pool. I was like, holy crap. I'm living it.
We cannot forget Nightmare on Elm Street.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a classic as well.
20 of them. Yep. Right. All right. Thank you for the call, my dear. We appreciate it. Elle on Instagram says, people under the stairs. Everyone forgets about that one.
Oh, that's right.
Still a classic. Let's do Melissa Burbank line one, please. This is one I've heard of but don't know anything about, but I've heard other people say it's real scary, too.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, everybody. For me, it's The Babadook, which is really scary. It's on Netflix. It's a
movie
from Australia. Yeah, it came out of Australia. It stars Essie Davis, and it is absolutely spectacular. The acting in it is crazy. She reads this book called The Babadook to her son, which unwittingly invites a demon into their house. And once you invite him in, you can't get rid of the Babadook.
Way to go, Mom.
So it's awesome. And her performance is amazing. It's also just creepy, creepy imagery. And the little boy in it, you believe he is messed up. He's awesome.
That sounds great.
All right. Babadook is not just a Kid Rock song anymore, it sounds like. Hey, before we close, that Netflix show that we were talking about last week with the Jensen.
The Haunting of Hill House.
That's one to recommend to people, right? If you're looking for scary and something at Halloween time at home.
So good.
That's the one.
Yep.
All right. Great suggestions, everyone. Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
Can I interest you in more Bob Saget on your television?
Sure.
Well, original America's Funniest Home Videos host, Bob Saget, is returning to ABC to host a new, more grown-up version of the video clip show. He will be the host of Videos After Dark, a show per ABC that's The hits are a little harder, the language a little bit saltier, the animals a little less cute, the kids a tad less adorable, and yes, the embarrassing moments are way more revealing.
Yes, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in for that too. By the way, the network also renewed America's Funniest Home Videos for its 30th and 31st seasons.
It's still going on?
Yes. It hasn't
a current
left.
Season?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's still on.
Yeah, the longest running entertainment show in ABC history and is currently the top performer on Sunday nights.
Who hosts it now? I don't remember.
I don't know who's hosting it
now. It's somebody famous, but I don't remember who. Somebody in the other room looked that up. You know why this is a great idea? Because the original America's Funniest Home Videos is a family show.
Right.
So when they get in a video like, well, like Pippa. They can't put that on the regular show. That's the type of thing that Saget can do on his show.
Absolutely. Hence, videos after dark.
I like it.
Yeah. No word yet on a premiere date, but I'm sure Bob will let us know, right? Right.
Right.
There's you guys, if
one person in the other room looking up what we asked.
Of course not.
We just see those.
I'm all right with that.
Apparently, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Oh. All right. There you have it.
Carlton.
There you have it.
All right.
If you're just waking up thinking, oh, if only I had a pair of Ed Sheeran skivvies. Well, you
woke up.
Something
wrong with you, first of all.
You woke up to the right show. Because Ed Sheeran has donated over 300 pieces of personal memorabilia to a charity auction, including his Martin guitar, a life-size Lego statue of his head, and multiple pairs of underwear, ranging from about $25 to $102, medium and large sizes. You're going to want to get, though, the black briefs with blue trim with the words Ibiza Rocks printed on it, or maybe the gray pair of briefs with the words AKA Sexy Bastard printed right along the waistband.
Oh, no! Oh, God! Oh, no, 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 no!
Ew!
Isn't it usually a bad sign if people start giving away their possessions?
Well, all proceeds are going to St. Elizabeth Hospice's new charity, Zest, which supports the care of young people living with progressive and terminal illnesses.
All right. So he's doing it for a good cause.
He's doing
not
it
just
for a good
giving
cause.
Up show business and going back to live underground with the other hobbits.
How dare you? First of all, it's a Martin guitar, which I'm sure he has 500 of.
Sure.
The life-size Lego statue of his head. I don't know how many of those there are. That's a piece.
I can't imagine there's more than one.
No. But, and the underwear. These are not things, though, that he needs.
Oh, my God. No way.
It's true. It's really true. You guys, a standalone Boba Fett film that was never officially announced is now officially no longer in development. So I'm really sorry.
Thanks, Han Solo.
All of you Boba Fett heads. Or as some guy on Twitter pointed out, we're Boba fetishes. All right. Good point, sir. But you now have all the focus on the upcoming TV series, The Mandalorian, of course, which Jon Favreau is doing. So that'll focus on, you know, bounty hunters.
Sure. I don't know anything about that, but Jon Favreau, I'm in.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. It's going to be real good. Hey, you guys, we've been mentioning all morning that it is Richard Dreyfuss's birthday, and I don't think we're spending enough time really going through the interview that Beer Mug did with him that led to the laughter, sad cry.
Super quote. Revealing interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Abin, can we go through some of that?
I am here with the legend, Mr. Richard Dreyfuss. I had mentioned to one of my coworkers before I came here today that I was going to be interviewing the legendary Richard Dreyfuss about a miniseries called Coma. And she got really excited. She's like, oh, Coma. I saw a movie called Coma about patients going into a hospital for very minor things and all of a sudden them just going into comas. And she says, I wonder if it's the same thing. Now,
I have to ask.
How long
again,
is that clip?
Are we going to hear from him
How
at all?
How long is that clip?
Well, we're 30 seconds in right now.
He hasn't given him a chance to even say hi.
We don't know if he's there.
I think we're about to find out.
All right.
It was a film, original film by Michael Crichton.
Yes. The film was by Michael, and the novel was by Robin Cook.
Correct.
Okay, so
you are correct about what you're participating
in. He's already angry, and rightfully so.
He just had to be standing there going, how is this kid interviewing me? Mm-hmm. Why am I, don't I have enough of a career that I can say goodbye, I can say no to this?
And why are we talking about Coma?
That was the movie. That was the remake, I think, that Richard Dreyfuss was promoting. I think he
I see. I thought it was an old movie.
Television, yes. Gotcha. I think they did a television version. I think. That was my understanding, but they're not done yet.
Now, Richard, before we continue with Coma, I just want to just go off on a little side tangent.
Oh, good, good.
My seventh grade music teacher.
All right, is there any way this is going to be a good tangent to go on?
Nope. I love it.
Speaking of class of 66, was so gracious that she took us to see Mr. Holland's Opus. And that honestly, I'm not blowing smoke here, but that changed my outlook on music at such a young age in seventh grade. So I just want to...
You'll notice that Richard Dreyfuss is not making any attempt to jump in and help, right?
Yeah.
He's just standing there.
He doesn't seem like the type of guy who would put up with frivolity.
Yeah, he's not loving it.
Can no.
Say kudos for that movie. That was awesome. And the other day, I know I'm reaching way back here, not too far, but I saw Stakeout on Cinemax. And you are funny. You are a funny, funny man.
Wow. Why would he bring up to Richard Dreyfuss that he saw Stakeout on cable the other day? A movie from 30 years ago.
Because he loved it.
Knows he made that movie. All right, have you guys had enough?
No.
Back to Coma. Did you watch the original film, and did you take anything away, or did you just kind of...
The original film when it came out, but that's 30 years ago.
And so you just kind of went into this project, this four-hour miniseries, kind of with your own take, or...
Yeah.
He's so disheartened.
And do you play the doctor?
I play the creator of the Institute.
Oh. Very excited.
Not half as excited as I am.
Okay, so now Richard Dreyfuss is turning on him.
Now he's losing it.
And I think this is where Muggs, God bless him, says goodbye.
Well, Richard, thank you for your time. You are truly one of my inspirations. I'm not an actor, but comedic-wise, like, I mean, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but... I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything. And Mr. Dreyfuss, thank you so much.
Yay! I mean, that is the arts right there.
It's so
laughter,
good.
Sad, cry.
It's one of the best interviews I've ever had.
That's
ever.
Really great. And you can just hear the disdain in his voice, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Do you think that Richard Dreyfuss, who's a very busy man and has done thousands of interviews, do you think that he still, at random times during his day, thinks about that beer?
I think he forgot about that interview that day.
Really?
I would assume.
I hope he thinks about it.
I do too.
It'd be great.
Oh, why was that guy talking about the original Coma for so long? I didn't do that.
Why did he bring up
this girl in Opus and Stakeout on cable?
I'm just so disappointed he didn't get into Jaws.
Right? He should have just read his entire IMDb.
Right?
That was fantastic.
Oh, well, happy birthday, Richard Dreyfuss, as well as Winona Ryder, Gabrielle Union, Dan Castellaneta.
I don't think you've said it right
it's a
once.
Hang up. Yeah. It really is. Tracy Ellis Ross and Tovlo, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness, me, SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have comedian Eddie If joining us in studio. We have Bean Makes Us Guess, and we've got your tickets every hour starting at 9 a.m. for a four-pack of tickets to the Six Flags Magic Mountain K-Rock Takeover. That's tomorrow morning.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
That's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.